Good afternoon and welcome to the Leadership and Professional Development Podcast. And I am your host, Don Gatewood, and I am super excited for today's episode. We're going to be talking about something that is so important because from what I can see with the job market, many people are in transition. Folks are thinking about leaving their current position and going somewhere higher. Other folks are in between positions after a layoff and thinking about what the next steps might look like. So today we're going to be talking about finding the right job for you. And I'm super lucky today because I have a wonderful and amazing guest, Ms. Nandy Hopps, who's going to be talking with us today about finding the right job for you. Nandy, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here and I love the podcast. I'm glad to join the platform.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you being here. We would like to bring the heat every week to our listeners, and we are going to bring the fire today.
All right.
So before we get into today's knee deep into the conversation, if you could, Nandy, take just a few moments to tell us about you, your professional journey, and just the steps that you've taken to get to where you are today.
Sure. So I am a native of the DC metro area. I graduated from the illustrious Morgan State University in Baltimore.
All right.
I actually started with an HR really early. I knew exactly what I wanted to do because I did have so many family members, so many veterans coming out of the military to a job market that just was not working in their favor. So I did establish a personal brand. I also go as HR Bay on social media. And my vision is really to make an impact. I've always known I wanted to fall under the HR umbrella and in some way help those that have been lowballed in terms of salaries, no promotional opportunities, and those just that don't know how to navigate the career pathway. So it's always been ingrained in me to be that advocate, as controversial as it is in my industry, but I still want to do that. I'm also a PK, which is also a preacher's kid. So I do have that spirit of advocacy on that side as well.
Okay. Wow. So, but now currently, so your background is in human resources. You always knew that you wanted to go in that area. And, you know, you're really, really, that's really mature of you. And that's so great to hear because the truth is so many of us, we struggle to figure out exactly what pathway we wanted to go down and then end up changing it three quarters of the way through the education program. So shout out to knowing what you want to do and sticking to it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, you are currently a recruiter.
Yes.
And if you can take a moment to talk about exactly what a recruiter is, because it falls under the human resources category. But if you, a lot of times when people think about HR, they think about benefits. So if you can talk about specifically what a recruiter does.
Absolutely. So as of right now, we're actually fighting, all of us in the talent acquisition realm are fighting to actually go under people operations. We want to take a step back from HR from that for that very reason. It's more so aligned to like 401ks and contract negotiations and things of that deal. But that's not what talent acquisition is. Talent acquisition is recruiters and sourcers. There's two different headings there. As a sourcer, your job is your headhunter. You're pulling in new talent into the company. A recruiter is someone that is working directly with the hiring manager and you're performing that internal duty and you're dedicated to the company. You know, typically a recruiter and a career coach are often mistaken. So a career coach is someone that dedicates the time to performing resume revisions. They help you to align with positions of interest. They also even revise your LinkedIn profiles and your social media network. Whereas a recruiter is on the internal side of the house. So you're specializing at finding suitable candidates for the company. So existing openings that are available. So for me, I'm kind of a blend of the two. On my part-time side, I'm a career coach, but professionally I'm a recruiter. So I have the best of both worlds. A recruiter is really someone that is supposed to be an advocate for all those that we're speaking with and pulling you into different positions, even those that you may not even think are you're qualified for. We kind of find that niche in between your resume. We read between those lines. We contact you, get you interested, and then hold your hand along the way.
Wow. And that's, I really appreciate that explanation, because what I want to, dig deeper on is just to figure out exactly how does a person know that they need to work with a recruiter? Because the truth is, a lot of folks, they go to Microsoft, they put their resume in, they cut and paste the job description in the resume, and then they think they're done.
Right.
And then they decide to go to the various different, whether it's LinkedIn, whether it's Indeed or whatever job resources. Yeah. And even if they're more sophisticated, reach out to friends and say, hey, here's my resume, pass it along, which are all amazing steps. And so for a person who that's all they've done, that's all they know, what is the reason or what is the benefit for a person to work with a recruiter?
So the larger the company, the higher the chance that your resume can get lost in the stack, so to speak. So it's very important that you establish that connection with a recruiter, because it gives you a leg up on the competition, as opposed to just throwing your resume out there, like you stated. It's really not going to have the same impact as me reaching out to a recruiter, again, within my industry. That's very important. And saying, I see that you consistently recruit for A and B. I'm interested. I have this experience. Here's my resume for future opportunities. That immediately is going to tell me, A, he has the confidence to come in and make an impact. B, he knows exactly what he wants. And C, I want to make sure that I keep this connection, because this sounds like a shoo-in for me. Up to 80% of jobs are filled as a result of networking and personal connections. Applications just aren't doing it anymore because there are so many applications that we receive on the daily. And right. The average recruiter takes a look at a resume for about 10 seconds before we make a decision, yay or nay. And, a lot of companies are so large that it's not even recruiters that are reviewing your resumes. There are what we call applicant tracking system bots. So there are robots that are just screening your resume, looking for certain words. And if you don't have them, you're automatically declined. So that personal interaction with the recruiter is what gives you that next step up.
Right. And I'm happy that you mentioned that, because you talked about the fact that there is an impersonal process that many companies, especially larger companies, they use. They oftentimes contract or have systems in place like that tracking system you described. And rather than having a human being and their eyes who can, maybe look at things and nuances of a resume, the bot doesn't quite operate the same, and they're looking for keywords. And so many people find themselves not being considered for positions that they really are most qualified for, because the resume just may not fit the template that would allow the bot to pick it up as a bling, bling, bling. This is a good option. Yep. Bling, bling, bling. It's a good option. And so, obviously with a recruiter, these mistakes or oversights that you may make on your resume, quite frankly, your recruiter will look at your resume and easily say, wait a minute, you say that you're looking for this position, but as I see your resume, it's not really in line with that position.
Correct. That's exactly how it works. And with recruiters, as you did mention, we can plug you into different opportunities. You may not be a great fit for this one, but I can easily see that down the line, another role will be a great fit for you. So it's always easier to keep up with those personal connections. And that brings me to my next point, of course, of making sure your resume is revised, making sure that it's definitely pinging the system in the way that it should, which I don't want to get ahead of you. I know that's probably one of the next questions.
That's fine. Go ahead.
understanding job descriptions is always the first step that I try to reiterate to all of my mentees and those that I speak with. Typically a job description has three sections. You have that first summary that kind of specializes the nature of the work. It talks about what you're going to be doing. Ideally, it's supposed to get you excited for the position and the company. The next section is a set of qualifications. We also call them basic qualifications. So this is what the company prefers you to have so that you are considered for the opportunity. I say you must meet at least half of what is listed to be considered. And yes, that's controversial. A lot of recruiters will say you have to meet all those requirements. That is not true. We're being very flexible because of the market. It is the candidate's market right now. and we are adhering to our job seekers. So don't think you have to check off on everything on that description to be considered. That's not true. And finally, you do see some additional qualifications or nice to haves. So this section just outlines what will set you apart. They aren't by no means firm, absolute requirements that you had to adhere to, but more so if I check off everything, oh, I'm absolutely a shoo-in. It puts me ahead of everybody else. So I notice a lot of folks see all of these bullets and it immediately intimidates them. Oh my God. It looks like an essay as opposed to a job description. What is the company really looking for?
Right. Well, I appreciate you, you know, first starting out the conversation, because we're into the conversation now. And that is really looking at determining if the position is for you. And what we just heard was that when you're looking at a job description, it has a layout, and there are different things that we should be reviewing on the said job description. But Nandy, one thing I want to say though, is that not all job descriptions are created equal.
Yeah.
I have seen some companies, let's say company A, General Dynamics, that's looking for a software engineer. Their HR department may give a whole bunch of information and details. Yeah. Whereas another company, let's say Dell, could have the similar position, if not the same position, but the way that they write that description could be a little bit more vague and less descriptive. Okay. And depending on, so a person can look at both of those and decide that I'm qualified for this one, but I'm not qualified for that one solely based off of the way a job description is written. And again, there may be some missed opportunities there.
Gotcha. Yes. So that's definitely true. The companies that I will share an insider secret here, the companies that are more so vague and aren't as descriptive, that is because they want a bigger pool of candidates. So when you see a job description that's very thorough, everything is listed from A all the way to Z, that means they're being a little bit more selective because there's a bigger candidate pool, meaning there's more people applying. Hmm. So that's your first indication of, okay, there's a couple other people out there. Maybe I need to take a look at my resume and further refine it. Whereas if it's a really quick, small blurb, that company's typically not getting a whole bunch of applicants, so they don't want to cut anyone out.
I see.
That's your first kind of indication of what we call an insight report, or you're up against the market. How am I going to stand right away?
Right. So when you are looking at this job description, so you see the basic information.
Yes.
How do you go about understanding what the job description is saying? And what I mean by that is some job descriptions, they use more technical lingo and what's the other word for lingo?
Jargon.
There you go. Jargon. They use jargon. And it's a possibility that a person who isn't as familiar with the industry, or maybe just worked in a different context, they're not as familiar with that jargon. Mm-hmm. And therefore they think, oh gosh, I don't know what these words mean. So that means I've never done this before. So that means I shouldn't apply for this.
Yep. That's how it always works. And, you know, I always work with those that are entry levels, those that have no idea where to start in the market. So I always get that question and they're like, I just graduated. I had this major. What do I do? There's, I'm sure, about 20 different job descriptions attached to one major when you're coming out of college. So, you know, for a young lady that I just helped, she just graduated from a program that was focused in being a data analyst. And there's so many different areas that you can go with that kind of degree and focus area. And we really had to sit down and figure out what to do. You have to fall in love with research to be successful. Mm-hmm. That's the only way you're going to make it.
Right.
So ideally, what you want to take a step back at is, do I like to do a lot of like analytics work? Am I more of a person that wants to be collaborative in the team? Do I want to kind of step off and do my own thing and not really work with the team? That is where you start, because a lot of job descriptions, they'll immediately display that effect. Like, for example, a software engineer. If you're not really a people person, you may want to shift to like you know, IT related position that's more so like a systems engineer, those that are kind of buried into their laptops as opposed to on a team. So first, definitely take a look at your coursework. Look for some jargon like, you know, for data analysts, visualization, Power BI, Tableau. You really need to pull a report. A good resource that I always give is PayScale. If you type in any position of interest, PayScale will give you different skills. It'll give you different certs, different trainings. And if you want to pursue those opportunities based upon what you input in their system, it immediately gives you like a career report and different positions that you can pursue. So, you know, ideally, it's always hard for me to tell people what to do. It depends on what you want to pursue. And the salary is not always going to save you.
Right.
So, you know, you may want to pursue an opportunity that's very heavy in the industry. Like right now, software engineers and developers are huge. Yes, the salary is tremendous. But if you do not like what you do, oh my goodness, the salary is not going to get you through burnout. It's not going to get you through misery. So you really have to take those steps and first understand what kind of job you're even looking for before you start to divulge in job descriptions. I think that's very important.
Right. Now, I have so many thoughts at this point, but on the flip side, we talked about the fact that in some instances, people feel that they're not qualified for a position because right. maybe they're newer or they just don't understand the jargon or the way that it's written. But on the flip right. side, though, what about those candidates that go after jobs that they are not qualified for? In other words, they read the description and somehow they process it as, oh, I can do this job.
Right.
And so that's the opposite problem.
Yes, it is. So for those folks, of course, we all do it. We all have to take that leap of faith sometime and yes. be confident. You know, stepping into a position, I would say definitely, again, do I meet half of what they're looking for? Can I speak to my experience? If they say, okay, well, you don't have everything on your resume that we're looking for, you should automatically be able to say all the other transferable skills that you have. No, I may not have done this in the past, but in a similar opportunity, I did do this work. There are a lot of recruiters, again, because of the market, we are going to reach out to you if you even meet half of what we're looking for. So take that leap. You know, a couple of years ago, I would have definitely said, if you don't meet all those basic qualifications, do not apply. But right now, because a lot of people are waking up because of this pandemic and realizing they're not happy where they are. It's creating a lot of vacancies and it's so many vacancies and so many, you know, minimal activity. It's your market. You actually have more of, a way to be successful as you are looking in the market. Take that chance. We're reaching out. We are desperate to get these positions filled, to be completely transparent. So okay. definitely take the lead.
Okay. Now, but getting back to the reasons why some people may feel unqualified, I think we, of course, talked about that the job description could feel unfamiliar.
Right.
I think that in certain instances, if a person sees that the, let's say your salary, you're used to making, let's say $80,000, but then you right. see a job that you feel like you could do, but then somehow they're paying $140,000. And you're thinking, whoa, this salary is so much above what it is that I'm making. They must want a much more qualified or an experienced person than what I have, because I didn't make anywhere near this.
Mm-hmm. And that's not true. I know that the salary also throws people off a bit. Honestly, a lot of companies are waking up and realizing how valuable skill sets are. Whereas it also depends on your industry. For certain industries, a skill set is going to be ranked a little bit lower versus others. So again, if you're one of those techies out there, if you're looking to really make that major bank, I would say FANG or now MANG is the avenue for you. Again, this all comes down to research. Are you just shooting for a position that you think is outside of your league because of the salary, or are you currently being lowballed? I think that's important to think about and consider. There are tons of resources out there where you can look up your salary, like levels.fyi, and it'll tell you what you should be making. So don't let the salary scare you off. That just means that next company knows what to pay you and they know what they're up against in this market and they want to seal that deal ASAP.
Wow. So we shouldn't be afraid because they're offering so much more.
Not at all. And you also have to evaluate, putting on my HR hat, the total compensation package. A lot of people see these numbers and they think it's the base salary. It's not always that. A lot of companies offer stock. They offer equity. There's a lot of other things that come into play with these salaries, again, to make the package more appeasing to the eye. So a lot more competition out in the market. Don't let that salary scare you. It just means you're leveling up.
That's very true. And I guess that's on the other side is one thing to consider as well, because while a company may have salary limits or a certain amount they're paying, to your point, when we think about what the total value of the position can go well beyond the salary, be it, like you say, the 401k, the stock options, the 401k could be matched much more than 6%. Childcare, as well as work from home options, you know, working in a remote capacity or having, you know, the travel benefits, the car benefits. So oftentimes when we talk about the value of a position, it can go well beyond what you're making, but also the benefits that come along with the position. And sometimes those are listed in the job description, but then in other instances, you won't find out until the interview and when they determine that you might be a good fit.
Yes. And that's, you know, that total package is what a lot of people overlook when they're job searching. You really have to lean in to the recruiters. When they do that initial reach out, always have some questions ready. We can easily give that information to you quickly. You know, it shows that you're aware of the market. It shows you're aware of your worth. Definitely ask about the working hours. What is the work-life balance like? Am I expected to work well beyond my typical 8 hours? I'm working on the weekend. For the techies out there, confirm that you'll be utilizing the latest technology. That's also very important. Is the job location worth it? Is it worth the commute? I mean, there are a lot of things to consider. And, you know, one of my major points that I always want to make to those that are out there searching, you know, just as I tell my associates and my friends, you know, you never take that first job offer. Never do that. Always continue to interview for leverage. This also tells you what else the market is offering, and it ensures you're not being lowballed by that first person that confirmed their interest with you. Just as we date, you know, all these suitors out here, date these companies. Figure out what you want to pursue. Don't settle. We never settle for, we're not supposed to settle for the first person that comes along. So don't settle for the first company.
Okay. Now, earlier we were talking about just the job descriptions and we kind of touched on the resume just a bit, but I kind of want to dig deep into the resume because I think that there is a lot of confusion around the intended purpose of the resume, what it serves, the purpose, and also its limits. And I think that there may be some questions around what exactly should be included in a resume to make it most impactful and effective. So as you have looked at various different resumes and you have evaluated folks, what are some of the most common areas or opportunities for improvement that you see that people make commonly or regularly?
Absolutely. So of course, you know, the average recruiter is looking at 100 to 200 resumes a day at the minimum side. You know, what always I would say strikes us in a negative way are phrases like my objective is, my hobbies include, I'm aspiring to. That tells me there's a lack of confidence because it's almost like you're questioning us. Should I put it there? Is this important? And it doesn't show that you can step in and provide what's relevant. We want you to cut the fluff. All of that stuff is not necessary and it pulls away from your resume. You know, there's always that argument around, should it be 2 pages? If I go over, is that okay? You know, we want you to be concise, but above all, make sure that the data is relevant to the position. Build your resume around the position. That's the best thing that you can do. What's also huge is quantifiable data. you really want to show the impact that you've made at every company. Did you solely just, one example I gave was, did you solely mentor a team, or did you supervise 8 new employees and adequately train them to be successful?
Right.
For those that are coming out of college, did you just simply chair our particular committee, or did you chair promotional committee of 12 to an audience of 40 to 60 students? You know, quantifiable data shows that impact that you make, and impact drives more income for businesses. Always steal a few keywords and buzzwords from the resume. If they're looking for experience with, you know, like Java, make sure Java is somewhere in your resume, or you're not going to pass through a bot, let alone a human. So just making sure that there's that sync up there. And you can definitely tell on your resume what role you are after.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that it's really, it can really be a challenge for people with the resume writing. I think that what a lot of people do is they understand what a job does, like what are the functions, maybe find a description of that job online and cut and paste. And that is not at all what the employer who is looking at your resume is looking for, because they know what that position does. After all, they are hiring for it. So if you just simply write down the task of that job, that tells them nothing about you. What they want to know is, as you stated, what is the impact? So in that position, how did you working there improve the numbers? How did, what were the number of people that you managed specifically? What was the percentages that this increased or decreased since you were there? And these details tell a story that a job description that just give tasks can never tell.
Absolutely. And I think a great way for those that don't even know where to start in terms of resume, a cheat that I actually took on myself when I was first coming out of college is I looked up individuals that were pretty much in the same industry as myself and had similar job titles. I went on LinkedIn. I found the person that was at a senior level or SME level. And then I found the person that was like entry to mid. And I kind of took a look at the jargon they were using. I looked at a couple of skills and trainings that they took. And I did a little bit of research and said, okay, where are the common areas? Everyone seems to look like they're going to attend this training, or they have this specific sentence that's centered around recruiting, talent acquisition. Okay, I need to add that to my resume. You know, they're using certain jargon that I have never even heard of. It really helps you to figure out what these technical resumes are supposed to look like, or what these communicative styles are supposed to be. So that way you are immediately captivating your audience. And, you know, these companies are looking at folks that are coming straight out of college like, oh, God, who did their resume? It's so professional. It's so easy just to kind of take a look and use other people as a template and to put you on the right path.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really, really good tip. You know, we don't always have all of the answers and we don't always have all of the experience, but looking at other people who are in the same position that you're aspiring to be or who are doing the things that you want to do, that's a great place to start. And as you mentioned, LinkedIn is a wonderful option for that very purpose.
Yes, it is. It's awesome. It is a great resource. I always say to start there. When you are getting ready for that job search, make sure your LinkedIn is up to date. That is the first place that a lot of recruiters are going to take a look at. I mean, it's one thing to reach out and send us your resume and say you're interested, but guess what? The next thing we're doing is checking and verifying on that LinkedIn to make sure all that experience is there. It starts with a professional headshot. It starts with a captivating line. Again, not aspiring to, I am a. Within this industry, it automatically shows your professional demeanor and that you're serious about your job search and your personal brand.
Absolutely. Now, you have been in your professional space for how long now?
Oh my gosh, it's 9 years.
9 years. Okay, 9 years. So now, 9 years, almost a decade. So what would you say has been some of your biggest rewards and challenges in the position that you occupy?
Oh my goodness. I would say with rewards, being an optimist, I will start. I have leaned in to help so many people. And as a result, I am seeing those in my network put forth offer negotiation tactics. I had so many people in my network that were even scared to take that leap and negotiate their offer, you know, out of fear that it would be pulled and rescinded. So I see people doing that. There's also people in my network and those that I reach out to personally for hire. I'm bumping up 30K or more, way past what they thought they were even worth. You know, it's always the impact for me, being able to advocate, being able to open doors. I mean, as recruiters, we are gatekeepers. We are the ones that are pulling you guys in. We are the ones that are making sure that you're prepared for these interviews. All in all, I just love the success stories. Now, as far as the challenges, there is that misconception about what we do. And of course, if one candidate has a bad experience with the recruiter, we can all generalize. We are villainized across the scope of the internet. I don't know if you're familiar, but there was a scandal that took social media. Oh, Lord. It was a recruiter. She has since, I will say, lost her job because of this.
Okay.
And she's now blackballed from the industry. But she put out on social media that she could have offered a candidate. It was almost over 60K more than they initially asked for. It was within budget.
Okay.
But she lowballed him because he didn't know his worth. And she posted that. Yes. And it was out on, I saw it on Channel 5. It was on LinkedIn. It skyrocketed. And
wow.
You know, it just, it backfired in a way that I don't think she intended for it to do.
No, not at all. But,
you know, as a result of that, social media reached out to her employer. They found her on LinkedIn and she has been removed from the company. They even issued an apology out to everyone. A GoFundMe was started for the candidate to make up for what he lacked in terms of salary. So what's important to note here is that, you know, recruiters, we really do not have a say over the offer salary range. That is a misconception that everyone believes. That amount is preconceived well before a position is even given to us. Now, what we do have control over is advocacy. So it'll be conversations where I'll talk to a candidate and I know what the range is. I know it can go up to 150K. And I'll have candidates come in, they sound unsure, that confidence is lacking. And they're like, you know, maybe I'll ask for 100. And I say, okay, 120, got it. And I'm ready. 130? Okay, got it. I'm automatically bumping you up because I know what your background is worth. I want everyone to know not every recruiter is going to advocate. So you have to have that market insight and knowledge. That's the only downside of recruiting is on one hand, you have to be loyal to your company. You can't go out writing 200K checks for everybody. But on the flip side of that, you know, we have to advocate and be loyal to the company within the same heading. So it's a great job, has great rewards, but we have to take a jump and help those that don't really know their worth and are scared to even ask for more.
Right. So does the resume, the way it's written, can that have an impact on the job offer? So for example, if you write a resume a certain way and they decide they want you, they determine you're a good fit, you were interviewed, but at the same time, while the salary range may be between, let's say, 65 and 85, that they may end up, you know, offering you on a lower end because of the way the resume is written?
So surprising to say, the resume does not deter from that salary at all. What actually helps to bump it up is how you sell yourself, how you represent your brand. Yes, I may only have 5 or 6 bullets, but guess what? In those bullets, there's still some keywords from that job description. And it still matches up. And it's how I even made it this far to have a recruiter even reach out or speak with me. My next step is I'm selling myself. I'm not only selling myself in the skills, but if you guys don't take me, you guys are crazy because I can do this, this, and this. And here's the impact that I make along the way. Be personal. You know, I know a lot of people kind of seize up when they talk to us. There's a lot of nervousness when I talk to people and I'm like, we're people too. We have good and bad days. You know, sometimes I'll have the radio in the background so people know I'm still a person. But I want you to come in and be a heavy hitter and know what you can bring to the table. So that way we can prep you for the manager.
Okay, absolutely. Well, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. And the final question I have for you regarding this whole space of job, you know, finding the right job and recruiting is, how much of an impact does the internet or LinkedIn have on a person's job search? Is that the primary pathway to finding employment, or are there other pathways that people could be connecting with the best job opportunities and with recruiters?
The internet is a major player. It is tremendous. You know, networking and utilizing your resources across the net will actually land you a job a lot quicker than you just applying. You know, networking is the number one way right now. And what's crazy of how the world is shifting is a lot of people are now getting jobs via Twitter, via Twitter? Facebook. Oh, yes, wow. Twitter is a massive resource. So a lot of recruiters are now on there as well. And yes, we can view your tweets. They are now on there snagging people there. You know, Twitter Spaces occurred this year. So there are so many job seekers there pitching their skills to recruiters. I host Twitter Spaces along with a couple of my other counterparts where we answer questions and connect that way. These social media platforms are actually overtaking LinkedIn, in my opinion. LinkedIn is always going to be the standard. It's always going to be the most professional place. But how you project yourself on social media, how you establish like these portfolios, how you're establishing your brand is really important. Make sure that you're on sites like GitHub and Stack Overflow so you're demonstrating your work and there's a trail back to your experience. Document your achievements, your new certifications that pop up. You know, if you work up the confidence to reach out to recruiters on various platforms, we're always going to ask for a link to your work so that we can confirm before we're putting you in front of these managers. Now, a con to that change in the market is, again, we can see a lot of the personal the personal things you have to say. So you have to scale a bit back on the obscenities and the hardcore views, unless your page is private, because that will also kind of cause some bias and people may not want to reach out to you. So if you can't do that, stay on the professional domain, stick to the safe side on LinkedIn. if you can filter and still represent your brand in a way, not cutting back on freedom of speech, but still, you know, I'm good. I know what I'm doing in my role. Branch out on Twitter. There's a ton of us there. I advertise my jobs there all the time too.
Yeah, that's a really, really good point to close on. And I've talked about it before in other podcasts, and it will just come up to the end of time. I mean, yep. The way we present ourselves, even in non-professional spaces, is so important, because sure, the LinkedIn, we all have our oftentimes our best headshots and people smiling and cheesing in a picture, which is all good. That's exactly what it should be. Conversely, go to the Facebook or the Twitter or the Instagram, and the turn up is real to the point where it's just not at all attractive to the employers. And employers, they go to those, your Twitter and your Instagram. They are looking to see, how is this person on their real social media sites, not the curated one that's all pristine and professional on LinkedIn. Oh, we all are so cute with our talents.
Hello. Okay.
They don't always stay on there.
Because, you know, again, we're receiving so many applications. Some people are looking for reasons to weed you out.
Oh, yes, they are. Do not be the one, you know. And they, like they say, freedom, you know, we do have freedom of speech.
Yes, we do.
That is an amendment. We all do have freedom of speech. But that doesn't mean that there is no cost to the type of speech that comes out of our mouth. And we've seen time and time again, whether it's on television, our favorite entertainers saying things that they could say because of freedom, But 2 seconds later, they're paying a heavy, heavy consequence. And that we are no exception to that. We pay consequence to the things we say and write on social media as well. And we all better recognize that as quickly as possible so that we can put ourselves on the best possible path to be successful and not sitting around wondering, why haven't they called me? Or how come they're not doing this? Or could it be the way that you are presenting yourself?
See, now I'm glad you also touched on the contact part. I do want to reiterate on behalf of all talent acquisition professionals out here, when you do reach out to recruiters, please give us some grace periods here. You know, desperation turns into aggression really quickly and we will write you off immediately. So just 1 to 2 reach outs, maybe once a week, and that's it. Anything more than that, we will be moving you into the do not contact list. So that's important. For everyone.
Thank you. That's a very important tip. Okay. Reach out, be assertive, but do not do too much.
Please don't.
Well, for the people who want to connect with you past this amazing conversation today, how might they reach you, Miss Dandy?
All right. Let me prepare for the DMs to be overloaded. So on Twitter, I do have my HR Bay platform. I can be found as Walkin Holiday, WALKIN_HOLIDAE. And on Instagram, I'm also there as Nandi by Nature. So NandiByNature3 on the end. It does show my age, but it's okay. A lot of people aren't going to get that reference there. I'm looking forward to assisting either way. I also have my link tree on both of those various platforms so that, you know, it'll answer questions about how to negotiate your salary. Also, I have a link that you can put your resume up and pick the link for the job description, and it'll automatically tell you if a bot will kick you out or not.
Gotcha. Well, thank you so much. I'm sure people will be reaching out. And I did have to acknowledge the fact that the 99 Nature, because a lot of younger folks who are listening to this, it won't even matter to them. And that just makes me so sad because that means I'm getting older and older. But for the people who don't know in the back, the Nandi by Nature is a reference. It's a shout out to the group Naughty by Nature with Tretch, and who was managed by Queen Latifah and the Flavor Unit and all that good stuff. Okay, that was some good music in the 90s. I owned that album, OPP, and all of those amazing tracks. Yeah, you know me.
Thank you. You know, a lot of covers come from it, but we can't forget the source now.
You cannot forget. Don't play. Don't act like these songs are new. These have been borrowed from, okay, from the great 90s, and we must never forget that fact. Now, Ned, before we leave, there are a couple of questions and games I like to play with all of my guests. Uh-oh. And I'm going to try something old with you and something new. So we're going to see how it's going to go. So, so my first question for you is with your playlist. I know working out for a lot of professionals is a major part of us keeping ourselves sane and keeping ourselves just motivated and dialed in for the workday. So I have to ask you, what is one of the most recent songs that you've added to your workout and your Let's Get Crunk playlist?
You know, it's so easy because all of my friends know I am a Drake fan. Okay, I went as his wife for Halloween.
Oh, wow.
So that was very easy to do. Too Sexy is the go-to.
I'm too sexy for this chain, too sexy for your game, too sexy for this fame, yeah, yeah.
That is the motivational factor right there. You listen to that song on the treadmill, time will fly.
Okay, and that's the one with
Drake and Future.
Future is in Atlanta. Yep, Future. Okay.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Yes. So now one of the songs that I've added to my playlist, which is not a newer song, but it still remains a very dope song, and that's by Meek Mill, Dreams and Nightmares.
Hold on, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished. When I bought the ass tomorrow, y'all thought it was raining.
I just recently added it to my playlist, and it is definitely an amazing go-off workout song.
Yes, it is. That's how you knock out the last couple of seconds for this.
It gives you the last bit of energy you need to push on and pull on through. Okay, so my next question for you is, what is your favorite television theme song?
Oh, God. Ooh, that one is tough. I know. I love them all. Well, since the refresher is coming, so I can drive some sight and get a check from Disney. Proud Family.
Proud Family. Yeah, the cartoon that was on Disney, right.
My Disney plug, so I can get a coin from them, but yes.
Okay, Proud Family. And you know, one of my favorites, I had forgotten about it until Super Bowl weekend, and that is The Sopranos. The opening song to The Sopranos has to be one of the hardest tracks opening ever of a show.
Yes. Okay. And Power. Oh. Let me add Power as a
backup. Power. Okay, we're going to add that too. Okay. And one final question. If you had two options to go to a concert, and you only could pick one, okay? You could go see the late, great Michael Jackson, or you can go see, no, I'm going to make it three. Michael Jackson, I'm going to say Notorious B.I.G., I'm going to say Beyonce, and I'm going to say Bruno Mars. If you only could choose between those four, I had to make it hard. Bruno Mars, Beyonce, Notorious B.I.G., Michael Jackson. Who are you going to see?
God, that's so hard.
I know. Okay. I'm not playing today.
Well, I'm going to have to rule out B.I.G. so I can make it out the concert safely.
Okay. Loud and clear.
And I have to say Michael, because without Michael, there would have been no show of performers. Beyonce would not have known who to take that energy from, and neither would Bruno. So definitely Michael.
And there you have it. And I think you've made the choice that many of us would have made. Nandy, this has been such an amazing time with you today. Thank you so much for sharing your amazing and wonderful insight. I know I've learned a lot. There's a lot of things to consider. We all are really deserving to have the careers we want, make the salaries that eventually we deserve to make. But there just are some steps that we need to be mindful of. And you have shared some of those amazing gems, diamonds, and rubies that I think we're much better for. So thank you so very much.
Sure. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Absolutely. You are welcome back anytime. So when I'm calling you a few months, not like, Nate, I need you to come on back. We got some more stuff to discuss. I want you to know that you have an open invitation. This has truly been a treat. Okay. And to all of my listeners, thank you all so much. You've been amazing. Thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for rating the show on your platform, Spotify. Please be sure to share with your friends. If you have any questions, my email is always open, gatewooddon@gmail.com. And until next week, have a great week, and make sure you go back and listen to those episodes that you haven't listened to, and I will see you next week. Thank you, Dandy.